up, roll things. Little food for your soul, things. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful, things. Laugh a little more, things. Tighten up your core, things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Welcome back to another episode of Four Things. Super excited about this one. And you know how in my song it says, be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot, eat cake. It's part of our Joy Seeker line in Espoir that supports Haiti. Well, I lived that this last week. I ate cake like 3 days in a row and it was amazing. But that was me just living life, being in the moment, not trying to miss out. Because I will say there's times in my life where I probably would have avoided the cake, but that would have been zero fun. Because I was out in California with my kids, took them out to see Mary for the weekend and for my birthday, and we took the kids to Disneyland and all the things. It was so much fun. But she ordered two of my favorite cakes. So Momofuku Milk Bar store is my favorite cake ever. She's actually the one that introduced it to me like 4 years ago. And I've had it pretty much, I think, every birthday since then. But they now have a gluten-free version of the birthday cake. So she ordered the regular cake and the gluten-free cake. And we did taste tests with people like her family and friends, and nobody could tell the difference. And I ate both and I couldn't really tell. But honestly, I think I ended up eating more because I kept going back and forth between the gluten-free one and the regular one, trying to see if I could really tell a difference. So I definitely lived out the whole eat cake thing. I've got you guys covered. If y'all needed to eat some cake, I ate it for you. And I turned 38 years old. I don't really feel any different. I guess my genes feel a little bit different, but I'm okay with that because I had so much fun. Like I said, we took the kids to Disneyland and they have never done anything like that. I mean, they've only been in America a year and a half. So of course they didn't even really know what Disneyland was. In fact, when we were driving there, you would think most kids would be so excited on cloud nine. It's like Christmas morning, but my kids were bored and wondering where we were going. And they didn't understand why Mary and I were so excited to take them. And then at the end of the day, they had the best time. We spent like, I don't know, 7-8 hours there. And then in the car ride on the way home, Stashira, my daughter, who's 11, and she is kind of hard to get to admit when she's having a good time. Like she was so pumped and she just said, oh, today was so much fun. And hearing her say that just was worth every penny. You know, going out to LA, getting the Disney tickets and doing all the stuff. Like, yes, totally, totally worth it. So speaking of Mary and being in California, when I was with her, we decided to, on a whim, randomly launch our Four Things custom pullovers. So part of our spa line is Four Things. Like we've got the Four Things tote and Four Things pullovers and a little pouch thingy. Well, you can customize the totes, but you can never customize pullovers. And now you can. Like we were like, I don't know, we're crazy, because it's definitely a process and something Mary has had to work hard on figuring out. But she was like, you know what? Let's just go for it. Because right now we're raising money for Project MediShare, which is a maternity center in Haiti. And we just know that these are going to be a big thing for people. Like y'all are going to love them. And hopefully we sell a lot, which means we can, you know, send more to Project MediShare. So we're like, let's just go ahead and launch it. Let's get it out there. And so, yep, if you haven't heard, because we haven't really promoted it that much yet, because again, we're trying to ease into it and take the order slow. But I thought I would let you guys know that are listening to the podcast that Four Things customized pullovers are now available. There is a limit on them though, like character wise. Try to think of words that are smaller because it's a shirt. You can't do as long as you would on a tote. Like my custom Four Things pullover says yoga, Netflix, pancakes, and sleep. So all kind of short-ish things. Like 13 is the character limit, but try to stick with 11. We think 11 looks best. But anyway, you can check all that out if you go to radioamy.com and scroll down and click on Espoir and Pimp and Joy. There's a little picture there. Click on that. It'll take you right to everything that you need to shop and support Haiti. So I guess let's talk about today's episode. I'm pretty pumped to have my husband back. He is talking infertility and adoption, something that a lot of people requested. So that's the first thing. Second thing, if you're not feeling happy, I mean, sometimes we just aren't feeling that happy and we can't get out of the rut. Well, I'm going to share some keys to happiness, stuff to kind of keep in your back pocket that'll help dig you out if you feel stuck. Third thing, if you're curious about the benefits of drinking matcha tea, well, I'm going to break down why it is considered an antioxidant powerhouse. And I personally drink a matcha latte pretty much every day. Fourth thing, do breast implants affect your health? I've got Bethany Ugarte back at Little Sipper. She was on a couple of weeks ago talking about how she healed herself by eating a certain way. She healed her digestive issues and IBS. So great episode if you want to go back and listen to that. If you've got stomach issues, I think you'll find it really beneficial in following her. But she's back on sharing her thoughts on this and why she is having a breast explant surgery, which is removing the implants. So now that all that is said, let's just go ahead and get right into today's episode. Here we go.
First thing. That's right.
I've got my husband here to talk adoption and infertility.
Hello.
Which is a request that we've gotten from a lot of you. So I got him in here to talk about it, which we're, I feel like, well, we're not experts, but we have been through infertility. We've been through adoption, and we're now the proud parents of two beautiful Haitian kiddos that are much older than we thought we were going to be. Like when we got married, honestly, I thought, oh, I'll probably get pregnant. Let's be married for 2 years and then I'll get pregnant and then we'll have a baby and maybe we'll have three kids. But wouldn't it be fun to maybe have five? And then we never, I mean.
Five? You never said five to me.
It was just in my head.
Well, I was going to say, you never told me that.
Right. But three.
You would have freaked out. Five kids?
What's a basketball team?
Well, I know.
I know.
Exactly.
So then, you know, we weren't able to get pregnant. It seemed like my sisters popped out four babies. Your sister gave birth to three kids. You know, nobody could give us an explanation. And all of our friends were having babies. And then every month, there I was buying pregnancy tests, negative. You know, I wonder how much money we spent on pregnancy tests.
I don't know.
A lot. And then, but I mean, you were in the Air Force, so you were gone 6 months out of the year. So during that time, we had to be strategic. Like the 6 months that, or you would go 2 months gone overseas, 2 months home, 2 months gone, 2 months home. So the 2 months that you were home, we'd have to be strategic because that's two chances to get pregnant, basically.
Maybe three, depends on how you time it.
Yeah, depending on that. And then I would always start my period and it would just be, ugh. It would just, I remember being in our first house in Southern Pines, North Carolina, a little white, two-bedroom, one-bath house.
With Josie.
With our dog, Josie. And I just remember being in our little bathroom, and I would start my period, and I would be, ugh. Or, you know, I'd get a text, like an excited group text, that someone else in our family or friend circle was pregnant. And you want to be so happy for them, but at the same time, it hurts because you can't get pregnant, and you're desperately trying. Right? I mean, you didn't have the same emotions of like, you didn't have to start your period. But I mean, I did. And then I would have to come tell you, well, it didn't work this month. I started my period. So then we started seeing that fertility specialist on base at Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
And I had to go get my fallopian tubes tested. And they put
that
this,
was dramatic.
Yeah. Because I walked in and they were wearing camo or BDUs or whatever. What does BDUs stand for?
Battle dress uniform.
Okay, they were wearing battle dress uniform. I walked in, I felt like, yeah, I was in Afghanistan.
No, honey, you but weren't I wasn't. Even close. It's just what
well,
people wear on
but
base.
But let me tell you, when I'm about to have my, I'm doing stuff with my girl parts, like I want to walk in and it not feel like camo.
What, you want them to have flower hats on? Like,
what? No, but I mean, I know we had to go on base, but I was used to going to all females my whole life. Like it being like a gynecologist girl office, like, hey, and then here I am on base, like going to this fertility doctor. He was one of the best in the country. And actually, we were really lucky to be at a base
really
that
good.
Had a fertility specialist because not all bases did. And
like, weren't they one of the guys that they were like, if you even look at this guy, you're going to get pregnant. Like,
right.
Don't get too close to him.
And you'll get pregnant with twins.
Yeah. Like,
and
don't
I
get
was
too
like,
close to this
oh
guy.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine if we had twins? Shoot me. Not really. I'd be happy with it. But I know that having twins is really difficult. So
double the fun.
Double the fun. So okay, and I say that now, having adopted two kids, older kids from Haiti at the same time, like two at once was a lot. But now that we're a year into it, I'm like, okay, no problem, it's great. Like, it's
well, but they're not screaming like diaper changing
well,
babies.
They we have other things.
Well, yeah, we have other things. But what I'm saying is, like, we're not like, hey, you do the diaper, you do the diaper, like, type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I can't.
Like, we're just dealing with other stuff.
Hats off to all of you.
Like, people have to deal with that is...
parents out there that have mm-hmm. multiple babies at once, like I, or even one baby, like hats off. So
one of the benefits of adopting,
right? Yes. Older children, mm-hmm. they're potty trained. That's cool. So I went on base and he had camo. Turns out it wasn't my fallopian tubes. We had all the tests done and we were fine. Like it was totally like, I was fine. You got tested. You were fine. Mm-hmm. And then we saw another fertility doctor in Austin, even once you got out of the Air Force. And then there was another one we went to. Anyway.
But that guy was really, that was another one. That was one that Kevin said. He's like, listen, you even walk in this guy's office, you're going to get, like, you, like, both of us may get pregnant. That's how confident he was.
Yeah. Is that like a thing that people say? Look at this fertility doctor.
Look at this dude and you are
even
pregnant.
Even look him in the eyes and you're going to get pregnant, which I guess is a great thing to hear, especially if you're going to be spending money. We really decided early on, first of all, our experience with fertility doctors was mostly just testing to see why we weren't getting pregnant. And then from there, we needed to make a decision. Did we want to do IVF or not? And we opted not to.
Yeah. Well, you were nuts as it was on that pill.
Well, that's one thing we did do that the fertility doctor recommended. No,
we couldn't
have
handled anymore. Okay, well, I mean, it's not your fault. I'm just saying, like, we couldn't, like, we goose couldn't have handled more emotions.
Okay, so to explain the pill that you're talking about, I took Clomid, which is a drug that makes your eggs more attractive. You can't create more eggs than you already have. Like, all the eggs we have as women, we're born with those eggs, and there they are. So I couldn't make any more, but I could make them a little more attractive to Ben's sperm, but...
Oh, hula skirts?
Yeah, so... But I couldn't take it really long enough to make a difference because it made me crazy.
And it made everybody around, like, literally, it was nuts. Like, everybody was... It was like everybody walking around in, like, defense. Like, you see those women's defense classes where they wear the whole padded suit? That's, like, what I felt like everybody around you.
Oh, my God. Wear like I wasn't dangerous. I wasn't,
the,
I
the
wasn't,
nut kicking.
I wasn't harmful. Yes. I was emotional.
You had to wear a cup to get close to you. An emotional cup.
You were never harmed in the process.
Emotionally?
I cried.
Yeah, there was no emotion. There was nothing to tell which way, left or right, what was going to happen.
Okay, fine. Cried
rapid fire,
a lot.
Or then you're angry and laughing at the same time.
Yes, I would mm-hmm. get angry. So anyway, we opted to get off that. And then that's when adoption really... So when we were in North Carolina, adoption was really on my heart. Even though we continued when we moved to Austin to seek fertility help, the adoption seed had already been planted. And in North Carolina, you were pretty hesitant, but you did start reading that book, Adopted for Life, which, you know, I think is something that changed your point of view, right? After you read it, because you really were having a hard time with, like, not having the brown kids. Like, that's our last name. Like, you wanted kids with our blood, our genetics, our everything, our, you know, the brown
family.
Yeah,
I wasn't against adopting. Like, there's two things. Like, I wasn't against adopting. To start, I just was thought like, hey, why are we giving up on trying ourselves?
Right.
Like I just had never, like I'm resistant to change, as you know, or as my wife knows. And so I was just like, hey, man, let's keep trying. Let's not give up so early. So reading that book, Adopted for Life, is really kind of the thing that I couldn't even get through the introduction without being changed on my perspective of what adoption was and what it means to be adopted. And I was never, like I said, I was never against it growing up. It just was nothing I had seen.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, we just didn't think that we would need to do it because we would get pregnant.
Yeah.
And so then I wanted to say that Russell D. Moore is the author of the book, in case anybody else is interested and they want to check this out, because, you know, I think that it was an important book for us and it could help you if you're, you know, trying to figure out,
like,
what
if you're
to
thinking
do.
About it, you can't get through the intro without going, I could do this.
Okay. That's helpful information, especially like for you to, yes, you have a hard time changing the plan because our plan was, you know, have our own babies. And then when that wasn't, which I would pray for that all the time, like, Lord, just like, when are we going to get pregnant? Like, we would pray for that. And then now I'm so thankful that our prayer wasn't answered because now we have Stevenson and Stashira, and that was the plan for us. That was the plan for us, and that's what we.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. And then I think the other part, so the two, there were two things for me that were critical. I think you were always kind of on board. You were excited. You wanted to build our family, whether we had apparently three of our own and two we adopted. Somehow we were getting to five that I didn't know about. But the second part was when we met with a fertility doctor in Austin, and that that guy right from the beginning, remember, like on like a napkin, he drew out the female parts, like the internal stuff, which was super fun, obviously.
Yeah, like uterus, ovaries.
Yeah, my favorite. Like, so we're going through and he's drawing this and he's like, hey, this is the science of this. This is the science of this. And then he draws the loop where they connect on the outside and goes, in this area, we don't know what happens. And I was like, wait a second. Kevin said, this is the leading fertility doctor in Texas. And this guy is telling me, as a scientist, he does still doesn't know what happens in this. Like, as a scientist, you don't know. So that told me that this was God telling us, like, this is what he wanted us to do. He wanted us to adopt. Because we knew, we didn't know that there was anything physically wrong with either one of
us. We actually still could probably get pregnant.
Right.
Which would be a crazy town.
Yeah, would be crazy. But at the same point, like, literally, like, when he said, I don't know what's going, we don't know what's happening here. I was like, okay. He wants us to do this. He wants us to adopt.
Yeah.
So we that made have, it super
just have
clear.
To
like
blindly, like we're just whatever, trusting like, this is what's going to happen. Instead of us, now adoption was expensive for us, especially international. But for us, like we knew of friends that spent thousands and thousands of dollars on IVF, on fertility treatment, and then it wasn't successful. So then that money is just gone unless they, you know, reinvest or do it again and see what happens. Now it is successful for some people, but there was some, a lot of your military friends, they had to do this. I'm thinking of one couple in particular where they had some unsuccessful goes. And I think they were like 30 grand deep. I mean, and this is a military family. Like this is either all their savings or they're in debt. Like, I don't even know.
I don't even
or
know
like
they
did
the
fundraisers or where they got the money. I mean, that's personal, you know, however you get that. But it's not like it was a cheap thing, and we
like 10,000 bucks in the military. Like that's a lot. Like that's a lot of money.
Right. So we like,
you don't have that.
We decided
money.
That we were just gonna put the money where we knew was a guarantee for us, and that these kids, our kids, were already born, and they needed a family, and so that's how we made that decision. Which that's not for everybody, and no judgment if you want to spend $1 million trying. With IVF, like go for it. That's this is not a space
no. This is just
judgment.
Our story.
It's just our story, and so we didn't want to spend the money on that and it not work out. Like we wanted to spend the money on kids that were that needed a home, that were born and were a guarantee. Which, getting our kids was definitely hard, and there were some days where it wasn't necessarily a guarantee. It was a bumpy road for sure, but we have them now. It took 5 years.
But even bigger part, like, so today, like, officially, like, I'm super excited about it for a few seconds, like, literally in the mail, got the final piece of paper where it says certificate of citizenship, which you get separate after the adoption.
Yes.
So we're a year, whatever, into having the kids here, and we got their certificate, which means, I just got done at the Social Security office. We are going to get Social Security numbers.
Yes.
And that's like, that's when they're legit. Like nobody can question it. There's no, well, are they legal? Are they not legal? Like
we're getting passports.
Like you are an American.
That means we can take them back to Haiti to
we
visit.
We can do all the things. It's all official, but this is like the final. I've got Goose have birth certificates. We've
you say
got,
we Goose a lot. You've already said it like.
Well, I meant that. I did.
Maybe that was on the Q&A, but. It's
well,
because like
that's a movie quote.
Yeah.
We,
that's from Top Gun, if y'all haven't seen that movie. And my husband's a pilot. So I'm just explaining because people might be like, who's Goose? Is Goose in the room?
Everybody knows that. Everybody knows, there's no Goose in the room.
I know it too. I'm just clarifying. Okay. So yes, we, Goose,
we
have.
Now they're official. Like birth certificates. Birth certificates.
Yes.
And
American ones.
Yes, American. Mm-hmm. They're born in Tennessee.
Well, basically.
Well, their certificate says it.
Yeah, I know.
Reborn in Tennessee.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah, reborn. It's pretty great because,
it's huge. Like this, like tracking this stuff down, if anybody who goes through this and anybody in the adoption process, just know, like, it's not easy.
No,
and
there's
it's
so
not,
much paperwork. There
nobody
times,
is on your side, and it's not in your favor. It's actually set up against you, so just be patient. It's just, I'm just saying, just be patient.
There were people on our side. There are people on your side.
There are people on your side. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, just be patient.
You have
like,
to be patient because a lot of times easy. It seems like everybody's against you because it should be easier, but it's just not. But we had a lot of amazing people help us along the way.
Yes.
And we had a lot of people create annoying roadblocks, but it all
worked
out.
But here we are. Now we have it and we're legal.
Okay. Well, let's celebrate. So I hope that this helped. If any of you listening have been considering adoption or you're dealing with infertility, know that you are not alone, and that especially if you're a couple like us where it's just unknown. Like some people can give you an answer like right away. Well, it's because your husband XYZ, you can't get pregnant, or your wife has this, there's no way you're going to get pregnant. Like we literally have not been given an answer. So we live in that unknown space, which is really crazy, but it took us a long time to accept it, but now I think we're at peace with it and I better not get pregnant. Okay. Right? Right?
Yeah. Well, man,
I can't handle that right now.
I don't even have any idea. Like what are we talking about? I'm just happy we're through the paperwork.
Okay. We got two kids.
Slip. You just go ahead. Any questions? Just call Amy.
Call Amy.
Slip into her DMs.
Yes. My DM, my Instagram is @RadioAmy. And then my email is 4thingswithamybrown@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hit me up. Slide into my email. Yep. It's not slip. It's slide. Slip
into the DM. You can't slip into a DM?
No, you slide into a DM.
What's the difference? Slipping and sliding?
Slide sounds more cool. Okay, all right. Thanks for coming on, babe.
Love you. Second thing.
I saw an article that said the keys to happiness that are scientifically proven. Like if you do these things, like you'll bring happiness into your life. And happiness is something that we definitely like to promote here on the podcast. So I thought I would just run through some of this stuff because maybe you're stuck in a rut and you're just not really feeling that happy. And you need little reminders like this is stuff you can just keep in your back pocket, figuratively speaking, unless you literally want to write them down and keep them in your back pocket and pull them out for a rainy day, which saying that, like literally, I just had a thought that came into my mind. I had no intention of talking about this, but when I think of writing things down, I don't always think of this. But anyway, let me just get to the point. This story popped in my head of this blind date I went on with this guy, and we had been emailing back and forth, but again, we didn't really know each other, and we decided to meet up, and in the email, we were talking about the weather, or no, actually, I think I said whether or not you want to do this, but I spelled it like the weather, you know, W-E-A-T-H-E-R, but I don't know if it was autocorrect, but obviously, I know the difference between whether or not and the weather in the sky. Well, he was being cute, and on the date, he pulled this piece of paper from his back pocket and opened it up slowly, and he's like, well, since we're getting to know each other, I just have a few things before we really get into this date that I need to clarify before I keep talking to you. And I don't remember all the things on the piece of paper, but one of the things was, can you please spell weather like whether or not? And I was like, W-H-E-T-H-E-R. And then he was like, okay. We can keep going with this date because literally he was concerned that I didn't know the difference. And if I didn't, then he didn't think he could keep dating me. So I just had that because right when I said keep it in your back pocket, for whatever reason, this guy that I haven't thought of in a years, probably like 14 years or something. Now I'm thinking of him pulling that piece of paper out of his back pocket. So totally random, has nothing to do with the key to happiness, which speaking of that guy too. So he had carpal tunnel. We were like 23 years old. He had carpal tunnel syndrome in his arm from using his computer mouse too much because he was an engineer or something. And he had to, at work, he had this red dot he would put on his forehead that his computer recognized. It was like this piece of tape he would put on there. And his head became the mouse because his carpal tunnel syndrome was so bad. He couldn't use the mouse anymore. Again, we were young and he would like shake his head around and around and it would go on his computer and that was his mouse. Yeah. I think we only went out like twice or three times, maybe. I have no idea what he's doing now. Hey, might be listening to this podcast, but probably not. Okay. So here are some things that will make you happy. These are keys to happiness that are scientifically proven. Okay, giving to others. Do things for other people. Like, seriously, maybe go try doing 3 random extra acts of kindness today. Bring a smile to someone. It's sort of like pimping joy, which is another thing we promote. Choose joy, spread joy. I mean, it could be simple, like get the door for someone, just smile at them, use your manners, say please and thank you. I don't know, like something. I don't know what manners really has to do with that. I guess I'm working on manners with my kids, but I don't know that that would necessarily be like you're doing something for others, but maybe showing respect to your elders. Okay, connect with other people. Make more time for people who really matter to you, which I definitely need to do this. Some girlfriends and I went on a walk the other day, and we were like, why are we not doing this more? Like, this is so great to connect. And seriously, we have every intention of trying to do it and having that quality girl time on a walk and catching up and talking about girl things and marriage and life and babies and husbands and, you know, all the stuff. And you know what? We're on a group text still trying to make it happen again. And, you know, another 2 months will probably go by before we actually get together. Exercising, taking care of your body can make you feel happy. I mean, notice how it lifts your mood once you do it. Like, nobody ever wants to go into exercise. Nobody's ever pumped up like, yay, I'm going to work out. But you don't ever regret having worked out. You normally feel awesome and you're proud of yourself for doing it, and working out releases endorphins and endorphins make you happy. So I could see how that's a key to happiness. Be appreciative. Notice the world around you. Like, just stop. Maybe take a couple of minutes to just breathe in, be in the moment. What's the saying? Smell the roses. Maybe you literally could smell a rose. I don't know. Maybe take time to learn something new. They say trying stuff out can make you happy, like learn a new skill, like however small it is, or maybe it's something big. Have goals to look forward to. Maybe think of a goal that you're aiming for and do one thing to get it started, because maybe it's hard to start it. Like, if it's a goal, you're like, it could be daunting, but maybe just move an inch closer to getting there. Take a positive approach to your emotions, because again, like, if you're feeling down, you're not necessarily feeling happy. We'll just try to smile and say something positive every time you walk into a new room or something. That's the challenge they put forth. Like, you know, every time you walk into a new room, like, think of something positive, or look in the mirror and smile and say something positive to yourself. Like, it really can help. Like, that's the power of positivity. And then acceptance is another key to happiness. Like, being comfortable with who you are. Be as kind to yourself as you are to others. I think a lot of times we can be really, really hard on ourselves. And we talk to ourselves in our heads in a way that we would never talk to somebody else. But for whatever reason, we're okay with like being rude to ourselves. And then find meaning, like be a part of something bigger, which I think is huge. Like, give your time to support a good cause and find ways where you can get involved, and whatever that looks like for you. You know, we have outlets on this show or through this podcast or through the Bobby Bone Show where if you're looking for a way to get involved, well, Pimp and Joy is an easy way to do it. I've been telling y'all right now, all Pimp and Joy stuff goes to tornado relief. And for those that need it, like, they've lost everything. I mean, imagine being those shoes, and you could get a Pimp and Joy hat or shirt or something cute that reminds you to choose joy. And then every time you wear it, you'll know you made a difference with it. That's being a part of something bigger. Pimp and Joy is a movement that we have where you can do that, or even Espoir. Like, anything you buy from Espoir goes towards supporting ending the orphan cycle in Haiti right now. So those are little ways that I know where you can be a part of something bigger that, you know, I'm proud to be a part of. But it doesn't even have to be that. Find something else, like find something in your community, whatever it is. I'm just throwing those out there as options that I'm passionate about. So there you go. Those are some things, according to science, that will make you happy. And I hope that that helps if you're feeling in a rut. And you jot those down, keep them in your back pocket, bust them out when you need to. Here we go. Something I pretty much have every single day is a matcha latte, one that I make at home. And I get messages from y'all all the time, like wanting to make it, or you're asking, why do I drink it? What are the health benefits of matcha? So I thought I would make it a thing and share with y'all today some of the benefits. I did a little research because I kind of wanted to know myself, honestly. I just had heard it was good for you. So I started drinking it, and then I just really, really liked it. And it's something that I enjoy. I drink it hot or iced. So you can check out the recipe. I have it in my highlights page, like what I use to make it on Instagram under highlights. Just go to Radio Amy. And then at radioamy.com, even under my Amazon page that's linked there, you can shop some of the stuff that I use for my matcha lattes. But here is what I found while I was researching matcha tea. Pretty much its nickname is an antioxidant powerhouse, and I'm just going to run through some reasons why. First of all, matcha powdered green tea has 137 times more antioxidants than regular brewed green tea. So when you're shopping for it at the store online, just make sure that it's powder, because I've been at the grocery store before and accidentally bought tea bags, and it's not the same. It's not the same thing. You got to buy the powder. And 1 cup of matcha equals 10 cups of regularly brewed green tea in terms of nutritional content. So it's unparalleled nutrition. Like I said, it's packed with antioxidants. It boosts metabolism and burns calories, detoxifies effectively and naturally, calms the mind and relaxes the body. It's rich in fiber, chlorophyll, and vitamins, which chlorophyll, that reminds me, I haven't been doing this for a while, but I bought some chlorophyll drops, and I used to just drop some in my water and it would make it this really pretty green, and I felt really healthy. I wonder why I quit doing that. I got to go find my chlorophyll drops. I'll keep y'all posted on that. And then if you need to start doing that or you want to, you can just research it. I do know it's good for you. Now back to matcha. It enhances mood and aids in concentration. Woo, I definitely need that. Provides vitamin C, chromium, zinc, and magnesium. Prevents disease. Okay, I'll give it that. Maybe because it's so high in antioxidants. Lowers cholesterol and blood sugar. So it says here, matcha tea is an easy and simple way to add powerful health benefits to your everyday diet. So if you want to make it a part of your morning routine, I feel like my recipe is pretty good. I mix it with almond milk and a little liquid stevia and some cinnamon. It tastes really good. If I'm feeling really basic, I put in pumpkin spice, like a seasoning, which if y'all don't have pumpkin spice seasoning in your cabinet, you're missing out, because you can sprinkle that on all kinds of things. And it just like makes you feel like you're having a pumpkin spice latte or even oatmeal. And you, all this you can make at home. One of our followers or listeners, Johnny, if you're listening, you know I'm talking about you. But he posted to Mary and I that he went and bought the Starbucks matcha latte, because matcha lattes or matcha in general is gaining popularity. You're going to see it start popping up places like Starbucks now has it, which is what Johnny tried, and he didn't really like it. So I've never had that one. I can't speak to it, but I have ordered matcha lattes out, but I really, really prefer my recipe and the one that I make at home, because I can control everything else that is in it. So matcha does have benefits. And those are them. I ran through them really quickly for you. Again, if you're trying to find the right one, sometimes they don't really taste the same. There is a cheaper one I found on Amazon, because matcha can be expensive, but it'll last a little while. But the one I found on Amazon that was cheaper, it just does not taste as good. So I don't feel good recommending that one. But anyway, give it a try if you want to. I'm looking at a list of like the antioxidant analysis of matcha green tea, and it's got matcha on here, pomegranate, blueberries, broccoli, and spinach. And matcha is basically off the charts when it comes to antioxidants. So who knew? Basically, you'd have to eat like a bajillion blueberries to have the same effect as matcha by looking at this chart. And obviously, I'm exaggerating, but dang, even I didn't know how great matcha tea was for you, matcha powdered green tea. So definitely check it out if you are looking for something new. You can have it hot or ice, so it's great in the winter or in the summer. I'm excited to have Bethany Ugarte back on. She's at Lil Sipper on Instagram, LilSipper. And she was on not too long ago talking about, IBS and a lot of digestive issues she had to deal with. Bethany, so glad to have you back on. I know when you were on last time, we talked about you coming back to talk about your breast implants and why you are getting them removed, how they can harm the body. Full disclosure, I don't talk about this too often, but I have talked about it on the Bobby Bone Show before. When I was 24, was I 24? Yeah, maybe 23. I got breast implants, and it was something I always wanted to do. I was very insecure about that. I can't even remember like I mean, my parents were all about it, like friends. My mom drove me. I think my dad picked me up, or maybe my stepmom at the time. But it was definitely something. I mean, I was young. I look back now and think like, wow, I don't know that I could have done it if I didn't have all that support. But then I'm like, why were so many people supporting me? But it just was common in our family circle. A lot of people mm-hmm. I knew had them. A lot of girls that I knew had them. And again, it was just something I was insecure about. I feel okay with them, but I am extremely curious as to what your story is and your removal of them. And maybe this will resonate with somebody else listening that's either thinking about getting them or has them and is considering taking them out.
Yeah. Well, and it's great that you had that support. And in fact, I had that support too. My parents drove me there, drove me back, and I got it done solely for myself. I didn't try to, I didn't do it to please someone else. So I feel like so many people do have them, you know, as long as you're doing it for the right reasons, you know, and have that support. And I was about like 21, 22 at the time. However, you know, looking back, not knowing then what I know now about implants and how they can really cause a lot of gastrointestinal disorders, as well as really affect your immune system, can make you susceptible to viral infections, bacteria infections, even formation of antibodies, because breast implants are a foreign object put into the body. And so your body reacts as kind of like a defense mechanism, and it responds with so many inflammatory issues. So because it's a foreign object in your body, it's almost like your body is constantly having this autoimmune thing going on. So after tons and tons of research, and of course, I had my implants put in before my huge IBS flare.
Which let me, I'll just say too, yes, the IBS flare, and you were basically on your deathbed, which you did talk about in the other podcast that you were on. So again, if people haven't listened to that, they can go back and listen to it, and they can even see pictures on your website. It yeah. really is so scary. So you'll probably address this, but do they think the breast implants caused part of your flare up?
No one really, even if I go to doctors, even today, because I'm, you know, full disclosure, I mean, please see your doctor. I'm personally just, I haven't had a good experience with doctors. So, you know, they think, oh, your breast implants, they're fine. Don't worry about it. But I'm definitely not blaming my huge IBS flare from my implants. Definitely not. It was a whole, you know, other issue of not being able to digest things. However, I do feel that it has contributed to some aspect of how I'm feeling. And I feel like once I do get them out, because I do still have them, they will eventually, or my body will hopefully be like 100%, because I think we all still get upset from digestion and stress of life. And that's just life. You know, it's just something that I had done a lot of research on, and there's something called breast implant illness. I mean, you could just type that in and look it up. And there's so many people that have these testimonies of once they got their breast implants out, they felt so much better. They weren't getting sick as much. They weren't getting the flu. They had less inflammation. You know, it's just something to think about if you know someone have them or thinking about getting them, to really search breast implant illness prior. And so, you know, of course, I'm not judging anyone that does have them. This is something that I've been wanting to do for a while, and I was supposed to get them out about a year ago, and then I went into a coma about a week right before I was supposed to get my surgery.
Let's talk about that real quick, because that's interesting.
All right, it's very interesting, and it was completely, obviously unexpected. And my sodium levels dropped just super suddenly. And I went into a state of shock, and I was in a coma for about 3 days, and they didn't think I was going to come out of it, or they thought I would be a vegetable the rest of my life. And it's taken about a year to recover, which is the average time for someone that's ever been in a coma to recover. And that's one of the reasons why I have waited to get my breast implants out, is to make sure that my body is fully ready to go and undergo something so drastic after a coma, because it takes time. When I woke up from the coma, praise God, I was just, you know, I didn't know where I was at first, and I couldn't write my name on a piece of paper for a couple weeks. Like, it looked like a kindergartner was writing my name. I had slurred, like my speech just wasn't correct. You know, working with the holistic doctor that I worked with prior for my digestive issues, he helped me get back, and here I am today, and it's just amazing everything that I've gone through. And to anyone that's been through, it doesn't have to be a coma, but to anyone that's been through something so traumatic, just to know that, you know, you can keep going and that there's hope. I mean, I've been divorced and my husband left me. It's just been, you know, I was molested. There's just so many things in my past. And this is like going, I don't know where this conversation is going, but I just really wanted to just say, hey, you know what? There's hope for whatever you have in the past or whatever you're going through to keep going because, you know, you're going to make it. So just to knock it up.
Yeah. I just got goosebumps too, because I didn't really know. I thought, you know, obviously we were just going to do this segment on the breast implant, but then your coma came up, which then kind of probably led you to think of, you know, that you're so thankful and grateful to now be living, you know, you're better. Like, they thought you might be a vegetable, and you probably are just feeling a lot of gratitude and thankfulness to be back to yourself. And then I think that probably led you to want to just encourage people to know that there's hope, which made you think of, you have been through a lot in your life, but you are someone that you're not going to let that stuff define you. So now I got a little bit of goosebumps because
No,
you didn't at all. Like, I think that's what I want this podcast to be, encouragement and inspiration to anybody listening. And sometimes you never know that one person that might need to hear it, that like, hey, gosh, why is my life so, you know, some people go through more things than others, but when you see like what I see in you, I see a lot of strength and tenacity and faith and hope. And sometimes someone listening may need that reminder of like, awful things happen, but you can pick yourself up and you can get through it, and you can use your story to be an encouragement to others, which is what you do on your Instagram. Like, your stories are so great. You take time to respond to as many people as possible, because so many people come to you with questions. And when you're full of the knowledge that you have on these particular subjects, especially with health and well-being and digestion and just taking care of your body. Yeah, I mean, you truly care about your followers. And this has become because you had to quit, this came up in the last podcast that I did with you, but you mentioned having to quit your dream job to take care of yourself. So when you're taking care of yourself, then you're at home. And fortunately, these days, there's ways to, we have platforms with Instagram and whatever people use, YouTube or Snap, whatever people use to be their thing. And it seems like Instagram and your website is your thing, but that's now your business. Like, that's now what you do to survive. And you've dedicated so much of your time and energy. Now I'm the one taking it off topic, but I'm just passionate right now, because I'm like, she has been through a lot, and she's not letting it define her, and she's still wanting to get out there and help others. And you do that, and you do it so well. You try to give so much of yourself to people. And I see that in your Insta stories and in your comments that you take the time to respond to people, and in your recipe creations and your ways try to give people a way to have like something awesome to eat when they may not be able to eat, you know, the real crappy thing. Like, you even have on your website, you have like a Twix bar recipe that's, you know, mimics a Twix bar. Now, is it going to taste exactly like a Twix bar? No, because it doesn't have all the crazy processed sugar and chemicals and stuff, but you've done your best to recreate something so that people, and listen, we all should be eating this way anyways, because we don't need to put those chemicals in our body, but literally you can't eat that or you may not live. Now, I might be able to go eat it. I'm going to feel crappy, but it's not going to send me into some inflammation craze spiral. Well, actually I will get inflamed, but it's not going to affect me on a level, at least yet. Like 10 years from now, if I keep it up, because certain things are carcinogenic, who knows? Like, I may be feeding something into my body and inflammation leads to disease, and, you know, I may pay for it down the line. But I think, just to wrap up what I'm saying, is I don't want people to go there and make the Twix bar and be like, well, this doesn't taste like a Twix bar. But you know what? It tastes similar, and you're giving that gift to people. It tastes better. You're giving that gift to people free of all the crap. And you're working hard on it. So I just want people to know that you're there, and you're grinding.
It's a 24/7 job.
And you take
I work 7 days a week.
Yeah. And, you know,
know, to be someone who had to give up their dream job because of their health, and then now to kind of create a job out of that as someone on Instagram mm-hmm. that can be there for people. I don't know. I just think it's super cool. So I want people to go check out your stuff and check out your page at Lil Sipper, LilSipper. No judgment for the breast implant people, but you just want people to be informed. And so what is it that they can Google? Breast implant illness?
Yes, breast implant illness, breast implant awareness, things like that. And, you know, just make sure that you educate yourself and you know both ends before, you know, doing something. Or maybe you have them and you're experiencing all these IBS upsets. That could be the light bulb. And it's worth checking out for sure.
Yeah. I'm actually on your website right now while I'm talking to you. And I'm looking at your 5-ingredient cookie dough bread. I made that, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, and my kids even liked it, which they are so hard to please. But and it's got, I mean, check it out. It's so easy. It's got 4 eggs, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 cup of cashew butter, 1 heaping scoop of Vital Proteins, collagen peptides. Now, you recommend the vanilla collagen peptides. You know, I'll have to go order, but I just have the blue can, the regular collagen peptides. Can I use that and add some like vanilla extract or something?
Yeah, you can. You know, I use the collagen because it's so great for gut health. Of course, it adds protein, but the vanilla just adds, you know, that true vanilla taste because it has real vanilla bean in it.
Okay.
Extracts for some people can be an IBS upset.
Ooh, okay.
You have to be careful because it has, you know, alcohol in it and things like that. So,
Guess what? I buy organic non-alcohol vanilla extract.
Oh. There you go.
I try to make sure it's non-alcohol. So anyway, I'm just throwing that out there as like something that I made and my kids actually really liked it. And so did I. Like we ate the whole loaf of bread. So that's something that, kid approved. And some stuff is husband approved. And, you know, you just got to give it a try. Play around with some of the recipes, see how you feel. But thank you, Bethany, for coming back on. And hopefully a lot of people will go check you out.
Oh, thank you, Amy.
That's a wrap on today's episode. A big thank you to my husband and Bethany for coming on and being the guests for this week's episode. And another thank you I want to send out is to all the people that have rated and reviewed the podcast. I went over to iTunes and was checking it out the other day, and I was like, what? Like, this is amazing. Like, y'all are awesome. And if you haven't been able to do it, but you could take the time to do it, and you really do like the podcast, and you want to give it 5 stars, that would be awesome as well. So this is me thanking you if you already done it, and then me thanking you in advance if you're going to do it. And also, this is the time where I do my email shout out. You never know if your email is going to pop up in here, but y'all can send me emails for things with Amy Brown at gmail.com. And this one came from Jessica, and she pretty much wanted to know what that quote is that I butcher all the time. The look good, you feel good, do good quote. And I never get it right. And honestly, I didn't even know who originally said it. And I don't know that I knew the exact quote. That's obviously why I was never getting it right. So I decided to Google it. I straight up typed in, if you look good, you feel good quote, and boom, it came up right away. So first of all, it's Deion Sanders. That's who originally said it. And this is his quote. If you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. If you play good, they pay good. So there you go. I think it comes up a lot when either I have Kelly from Velvet's Edge on talking fashion, or the Nashville beauty girl, Carrie, coming on to talk about, you know, your face and looking good and stuff, which sometimes both of those topics can seem a little like vain, like, oh, not really going anywhere with this. But no, you should want to take care of yourself and feel good and look good, because like Deion says, if you look good and you feel good, then you play good. And if you play good, they pay good. So we're all doing it to feel our best and do our best. Like me, for like if I have an important work event, and that's where this quote comes into play for me. Like, I try to take care of myself leading up to it, try to eat really clean so I feel my best and I'm mentally strong. I try to take care of my skin, make sure I've got, you know, whatever makeup I want to wear, or like I'm washing my face every night and being diligent about that, using my mask so that way my skin feels good. And then I've got my outfit on point, probably thanks to a tip from Velvet's Edge, and I'm feeling confident and I do my power pose. And I go up there and I'm just way more confident and I do so much better. It's so true, Deion. Deion Sanders, you are so right. If you look good, you feel good. And if you feel good, you play good. And if you play good, they pay good.
I mean, the pay good part you might have to wait for. Really, sometimes you have to put in all the feeling good and the playing good, and then eventually maybe it'll pay off. But you might as well try to feel your best when you're out there trying to do something. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that is that. What else did I want to say? Oh, one last thing too. I was getting some messages about Pimpin' Joy products, and those of you were wondering if there were some of you, excuse me, wondering if they were still benefiting the tornado relief in Alabama and Georgia. And the answer is yes, because some of you were waiting and you didn't buy in the last 2 weeks, but now you're ready to buy. So yes, mm-hmm. Proceeds are still 100% of proceeds still going to that. They definitely still could use the help. So if that's something you want to check out, you can now go to radioamy.com and there's a link to Pimp and Joy right there. Take you straight to the shop forward. So easy. Easy peasy, like my son would say, or actually I think he says it backwards. Whenever he says something, he looks at me, he's like, peasy easy, mom. And I think it's easy peasy, but I could be wrong. Maybe he's right. Who knows? Okay, well, I hope y'all have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you on Tuesday for the Q&A episode.
Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things. With Amy Brown.